This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Yak! All right, welcome back to episode number 17 of the Until the Whistle podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Myers. Happy to have a guest on with me tonight, one of my best friends, Jonathan Brown. I've talked to him about him on some previous episodes and thought it would be a good time, since we're in the off season, to bring him on. Jonathan, one of the main things I really want to talk about is some of the stuff he's doing with For the Culture Brewing Company, which is a brewing company that he and some friends of ours have started. And so kind of dive into some of that, get, you know, some of the background behind it, how they got started, some of the things that they have on the horizon and that kind of deal. So just jump right into it. How you doing, Jonathan?
I'm good, man. Happy to be on here, man. It's the first time doing something like this. So excited. Pretty cool, man.
Yeah, hopefully you don't mess this up for me. So
and this is how we start, huh?
This is how we start. So for all of our listeners, Jonathan and I go back to 2003. Yeah. So Jonathan ran track at UT. I played football, and we ended up becoming friends and haven't gotten rid of each other since. So we have a pretty close relationship. We talk a lot of shit to each other, so there'll probably be a good bit of that going on tonight here. But there's not a ton going on right now in the realm of Texas football. Well, I say that, but of course we'll probably have to touch on Brew McCoy a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's kind of been I feel like it's been covered like quite a bit and beaten to the ground almost.
Wow, man. You've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, it's definitely some uncharted territory. So we'll touch base a little bit on that before we dive into some of what it is that you have going on with For the Culture. But I don't know, I hadn't talked to you in a minute. So did you have anything going on this past weekend that was notable?
Not just Brew Day, man. You know how we do here is Brew Day, at least every other weekend. Right now we are brewing up for Rodeo Cook-Off, actually. We're just working on that, brewing up a few beers for vendor night, Thursday night on the 21st, maybe out there Saturday as well, at a tent, just, again, out there sampling like we've done the past 6 to 8 months now. So nothing crazy, just Brew Day, man, and chasing my kids around.
They keep you good and busy. Interestingly enough, I was in Dallas this past weekend because I went to this hot sauce convention every year that I go to. It's called Zest Fest, and my parents, my brother, my sister-in-law, my nieces all went. So we made a family day out of it and just went up to the Irving Convention Center in Las Colinas and tried a whole bunch of different hot sauces. I have a bottle of Louisiana hot sauce that resides at Jonathan's house solely for me. I don't think, do y'all even use it, or is it just mine?
Nope. It's your, I mean, we jump in there so often, but it is 95% yours. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's fair. But, the ones at this hot sauce festival are a little bit more, a little bit more exotic. They have like all kinds of like crazy peppers in them and, you know, some of them are really good and have really good flavors, but there's others that are like just ridiculously spicy. And so my brother tends to be the one that likes to try to like venture out and do stuff a little different. Me, not so much. So he had one that he bought this weekend called, it's like Chocolate Plague is what it was called. And it was kind of like on a, like you see on those videos sometimes where people do these challenges. Like he literally tried the thing. And like within the first couple of seconds, he was like, oh, that's good. And the guy that was serving it to him was like, oh man, you have a high tolerance. And then about 20 seconds went by. And next thing you know, like, Matt's over there in the corner somewhere, like, almost curled up in a ball, like, in all kinds of pain, sweating, crying. My excuse me, my 9-year-old niece thought it was hilarious. And so that ended up cutting our trip short. But that's what I did with my weekend, man. I didn't have anything too major. And then, of course, by the time I got back,
Before you say that, man, serious, quick question, because I haven't asked you this. Like, what? Why hot sauce, man? Because and I know you're a tri-star, because as soon as you said that about Matt, it took me back to 2004. We're sitting there in the dorms, and I think you ordered. You ordered the Pluckers. And so you order some Pluckers, and you're just sitting there eating, and it's no problem. But you know, I'm on the game playing NCAA, and I turn around, and I don't even see your face. I just see you hunched over, just going to work on some wings, and all of a sudden you stand up, and you are legit full out sweating with a towel, wiping your face. But that ain't stopping you. You're going back in on those wings, man. Like, what? I'm all about having flavor, but at that point, can you even taste what you're eating?
Well, so, okay, that was a mistake. First of all, I was eating it was a spicy chicken sandwich from Pluckers. And I think at that time I was a little more experimental. That was my younger days. And so I thought I could eat things hotter than, like, what I really should. So instead of just, like, the regular hot, I think I had, like, the extra hot version of whatever it was they had, and it was really good. It had good flavor, but like you said, like, it was hot as hell. So I was sitting up there sweating, and like, I had to kind of like play it off some, you know, cause I couldn't be a punk. So
to nobody but yourself, man.
I mean, that's fine. It happens.
Yeah.
I've learned in the years since that I'm more about like flavor with a little bit of spice. I do still eat things that are really spicy though. Like I'll eat a raw serrano or jalapeno, like with some eggs or something, or sometimes I'll chop up a habanero and put it in my eggs just cause it tastes good. So I don't know. I need to ask my mama, maybe she like ate hot sauce or something when she was pregnant. I don't really know, but our whole family loves it, man. Like,
yeah,
it's just good stuff. But yeah, so we did that this weekend and came back Sunday. And by the time I got back Sunday, like, the internet was going crazy because I guess over the weekend, we picked up a 5-star commitment. Well, 5-star commitment / signee / transfer.
Early enrollee.
/ early enrollee. So if you've been under a rock, I guess now would be a good time to let everyone know that Brew McCoy is the latest part of this 2019 class. And I think one of the interesting things about it, you know, we have our group chat that we're in, and we got to get Big D on here sometime.
Oh, definitely.
Because I think he would be a really good guest. But all along, him and one of our boys, Chuck, they were very adamant about the fact that we were going to get Brew McCoy. And I mean, you know, like, I am very much like a pessimist when it comes to recruiting. Like, I don't really want to talk too much about it until November these days. But now I talk about it a little bit sooner just because they have the early signing period. But I don't trust these kids as far as I can throw them, because they're kids. They're going to change their mind. They're going to go somewhere. Nowadays, if they get a cool edit on Instagram or Twitter, like, that makes them happy. They announce every single offer they get. It's stuff that I can't really resonate with. I guess that kind of makes me the crotchety old man.
Yeah, definitely, man. Because I mean, you were a football recruit once, you know, and I mean, it's not as, I mean, for track, it was not as glamorous as football is, but I mean, I enjoy taking my visits, you know, except for mine with Rice in Texas. But I mean, it's, you know, you give me an opportunity to go to 5 different schools. I mean, that's fun for 17.
But 16. I don't have a beef with that. It's all this new age shit, like, post about it and, you know, extremely blessed to have this offer, and you tweet about it, and then it's like an offer from Illinois, but like, you know that you're going to be going
no,
to
not
like
Illinois, huh?
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got a excuse me, I think I saw, you know, your boy right there in North Shore, Zachary Evans, was like tweeting that, like, you know, somebody like Arkansas State or somebody offered him, you know. It's just kind of like, he's going to have an offer from everybody. Like, are they really going to do this with every single, I don't know. Like I said, I'll get to rambling and ranting if I do that.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much. Oh, there go one of them. Which one is it?
That's Ashton.
Ashton is my, how old is Ashton?
Three? Ashton is two going on 25. Yes.
Ashton is my niece that is two going on 25. And she pretty much runs the Brown household. Yes. She pretty much runs everything she comes in contact with. So I figured if it were one of the two of them that were going to interrupt, I thought it was going to either be Ashton herself or JB2 coming up and saying that Ashton had done something. That was my opinion. this is life for us, right? So
yeah. Never a quiet moment, man.
Never a dull moment. But yeah, so Brew McCoy, man, like, I listened to, excuse me, like, I can't clear my throat. Gosh,
it's going around. So bad.
Well, honestly, surprise, surprise, I just finished eating something hot right before here. And so, like, I'm trying to clear my throat, and then I'm drinking a little bit of whiskey. Oh, yeah, I hadn't done that in a while. I haven't really announced what I've been drinking while I've been drinking it. Tonight, I'm drinking some Rock Hill Farms. So Rock Hill Farms whiskey that I've gotten from my one of my connects on Orange Blood, but I can't find it anymore. Or at least the places I find it, it's really expensive, but it's a single barrel bourbon from Kentucky. And it's really good. It's made by the Buffalo Trace Distillery. I think we should do something like that this time. I mean, I know y'all are more into breweries these days, but...
Well, no, I absolutely love that because, you know, as you know, we do a lot of the barrel-aged beers. So we take whiskey or bourbon barrels and age some of our porters or stouts, just some of our darker beers in those just to... extract some of those flavors. I love whiskey, just like you. Have you stepped up to scotch yet?
A little bit. I'm nowhere near the scotch connoisseur that I am whiskey. So I can't say that, like, I really know a good scotch from a bad one, per se, you know, or a good scotch from a cheap one. I think I've drank some at your house a couple of times just because that's what was there, and I was looking for something to drink. But I don't have any scotch in my personal collection, so.
Okay. You'll get there, man.
I'll get there. Okay, let's knock out Brew McCoy so we can talk about the fun stuff. So, one of the things that I have found to be really interesting, I guess, about his recruitment is that we were even in it as much as we were to begin with. I guess you certainly have to credit that to the staff. It seems like he had developed a really good relationship initially with Brian Carrington, which you had asked about in the group chat, how much he's making these days. And I'm guessing that he's got to be north of 100K because that, you know, he had some programs trying to come and poach him last year. But had developed a really good relationship with him, developed a really good relationship with Drew Merringer. And ultimately, I think, that was what kind of helped his family feel comfortable in making the jump at the end. But, you know, with having the new transfer portal now and some of the opportunities that these kids have to kind of take, I guess, some of the power back that they wouldn't otherwise have, you know, I personally don't have a problem with, you know, what he did and his decision. Certainly it benefits us. But, I mean, obviously there's, you know, even situations where, you know, we had Cameron Rising in the portal and end up going to Utah. You have a couple of the running backs in there. And then sounds like Shane is in the portal and will be leaving, excuse me, again, after he graduates. Yeah, after he graduates. So, you know, I think it's to combat, really, at least in my opinion, I'm always going to kind of be pro player or player centric, combat, you know, some of the stuff that happens in recruiting. You know, one of the nasty not so secret secrets is these coaches will often tell these kids, you know, and they're kids. That's one of the things I try to remind, you know, people when we get in these big heated debates about, you know, what some of them do. They're 16, 17, 18 years old. and trying to make a decision on where they're going to be going for the next 3 to 4 years of their careers. And they don't have the luxury of just up and leaving, and they're not really being any kind of penalty like the coaches do. And so that was kind of some of the unique circumstance we had here, right? You had Cliff Kingsbury getting fired from Texas Tech, landing at USC as the offensive coordinator. And from everything that has been reported, Brew McCoy and his family receiving, you know, a number of assurances from Clay Helton and even Cliff Kingsbury himself that, you know, Cliff Kingsbury would be there for a while. And the way the story goes is as Brew McCoy is on his way to USC to move in, they hear word that Cliff Kingsbury has bolted already for the NFL, which is a completely separate conversation. But how do you get fired from Texas Tech and then land a head gig in the NFL?
Does he even have a winning record as a coach?
I don't know. That's a good question. I really don't know the answer to that, but if he does, I would imagine it's just borderline 500. I would be willing to bet that it's under. But that's a conversation for another day. I guess ultimately that's just kind of what opened the door for this situation to kind of happen. And again, the coaches had, you know, developed enough for rapport with the family that I think by the time it was Friday or so, he had, you know, officially let USC know that he was going to be in the portal, and at that point had already been granted a full release. And I was listening to another podcast today, and they were kind of talking about, you know, just how unique it was in that supposedly, like, they even got Reggie Bush on the phone to, like, try to talk him into staying, and that their family was actually so tight with Clay Helton that Brew McCoy's sister is going to a dance with Clay Helton's son. So, like, they had developed this very, you know, close bond and, you know, effectively felt like they were lied to. So I think, what was it, by, like, Sunday night, he had touched down in Austin and was being picked up at the airport. So, I mean, sounds like we got us a pretty good one. When I was listening to Ketch's podcast earlier, he was kind of going back through the rankings, and Brew McCoy is... you could argue that he is the highest rated receiver recruit we've had in the last 20 some odd years. Mm-hmm. And the only people that could really possibly be considered to be ahead of him would have been B.J. Johnson in that big class, where it was B.J., Roy, and Sloan. And then possibly even Montrell Flowers. But, like, the Rivals databases don't go back that far. So
with that. Where's he going to play, man? I mean, is he going to be on offense or defense?
I think he'll be on offense because, you know, like, if you consider, if he wasn't as concerned about offense, or if his goal was to play offense in or defense in college, yes. Cliff Kingsbury leaving wouldn't be as big of a deal. And so I think, you know, they probably sold him on the ability to have an impact similar to what Lil Jordan have. You know, I could certainly see him being in, like, that big slot role, mm-hmm. You know, especially kind of with what we have coming back and, you know, some of the other guys in his freshman class, which is now, if you look at our receiving core, you know, it was and still is very impressive that OU was able to pull in 3 5-star wide receivers in the same class. But in this class, you have kind of a hybrid receiver running back in Jordan Whittington, who was the, you know, the state MVP on both sides of the ball in his state championship game. And he had, like, I want to say it was something touchdowns. Absurd. Like,
it was 5 touchdowns, 335 rushing yards.
Like something crazy like that. Yeah, like, so you got him in the class. You got Jake Smith out of Arizona, who was the Gatorade Offensive Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. You have now Brew McCoy, who was the Maxwell National Player of the Year. You had Marcus Washington out of the St. Louis area. That was the Under Armour All-American Game MVP. And then the one that's kind of slept on is Kennedy Lewis. And that kid's 6'3 and runs a 4.3.
It sounds like a crowded room, man.
It does, but then you look at, okay, so you had LJ leave this year. Next year, you got
Colin and Duvernay are gone.
And even Bert, he'll be gone. And then I imagine, you know, you probably have a couple guys transfer from some of the earlier classes, because you got to keep in mind, already on campus, you had Brennan Eagles. I was listing this out the other day in the chat and I already forgot them. It was Brennan Eagles, Avante Woodard, Joshua Moore coming back from injury, Pouncey. And I feel like there's maybe one more that I'm missing. But all in all, I guess what I'm getting at is I think it still gives them all an opportunity to play. You have at least three wide receivers that are going to be leaving the room, you know, next year. And so I think they're kind of getting into a good position now where we're really loading up on some of that talent. You know, you always hear me talking about we need some of those true difference makers, like the guys that can kind of pick them up and put them down, like a what's the kid from OU that was torching us?
Brown.
Hollywood Brown. Yeah. So, you know, there was a report that, you know, after the game, after the first matchup with them at the Cotton Bowl, Coach Herman kind of went back to the staff and was like, I need guys like that. Well, it seems like we went out and got guys like that.
Got so, all of them.
Yeah. So I'll take that as a good problem to have. Versus, you know, the alternative of not having guys like that. Because I think, you know, the number is escaping me, but I want to say this past season, UT didn't have a single play over 50 yards.
Correct.
And so it's really good that, you know, we've been able to put together some of the, you know, methodical type drives that we have, but I certainly wouldn't mind seeing us, you know, score at a pretty fast clip again when we want to, and then just having the ability to, you know, switch to a ground and pound it kind of offense, because I just want to get some of the hits off of Sam. Because, yeah, man.
He's going to take them, man. That's just who he is. That's the player he is. Next man's just got to be ready, and hopefully he, you know, isn't out too long. I'm with you. I mean, you know, we you know, banging our heads on the table, especially freshman year and his freshman season and his past season. But I've just accepted it, man. It's just that's who he is. That's what he's going to do. You know, just got to have somebody ready to go. Casey needs to be ready to go, and hopefully we don't see Rashawn this year. I you know me, I'm all about the guys red shirt, and so.
Yeah, man, for sure.
But yeah, but definitely, man, if we can, because it's nothing like when we get the ball and we got to go 90 yards and it's like, man, I don't know how we're going to do this. But then you look up and it's 13 plays.
Yep.
On the other side of the ball, you got, you got an Oklahoma or a Tech, a lot of these different offenses in the Big 12. And it's all right, man, they can do that in 2, 3, maybe even one play. So hopefully, you know, these new guys and you know, everybody more comfortable in the offense, man, we can really do that this year.
For sure.
Question for you, man. It's I'm thinking about this as well, is, you know, now you're speaking about guys having guys and finally having guys. And I know we talk about football a bunch, but basketball.
Oh, shit. I have it pulled up. Like, I was going to try to avoid talking about basketball. But at the same time, like, I have it pulled up here on my computer, like, in the right-hand corner on mute, just kind of watching it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm just keeping up with the game, Castro. Because, you know, you know this is crazy for me, because this is the same guy that's sitting in your apartment. We're up, I don't know what, 30 points to I think we were playing A&M that day, and like I forgot what year, somewhere between 03 and 05, sitting in your apartment. You're like, look, man, it's time to go. Where are we going to eat? And I'm like, hey, man, the game's on. It's like, Jonathan, we're up 25 points. I'm like, but there's five minutes left in the game. So, like, yeah. I was 100% invested in basketball, and now it's apathy.
Yeah, so what, we're up, what's the score right now? So we're for everybody listening, we're recording on a Tuesday night. Texas and Kansas are playing right now. And that in itself kind of tells you where the two of us have fallen when it comes to Texas basketball. There was a time where Jonathan wouldn't be doing anything when Texas basketball is on. I'm a bit more of a snob. I tend to only pay attention for the, I guess, the more marquee matchups, and I didn't even flinch in trying to ask you about, you know, just recording tonight, okay? Because I don't know, man. It just they so we're up right now by 8 with 7:30 left in the game, and I fully expect us to do something to screw the game up. I know you guys, like, so you guys in our group chat, y'all are a lot more intense than I am when it comes to it, especially when it comes to Shaka. But I just tend to believe, like, we don't have the guys. Like, I'm watching Sims play a little bit earlier in the game. He's a lot softer than I expected him to be. Osatowski hasn't really made the jump that I expected. I forget the transfer guard with the little ponytail thing.
the what?
Mitru Long, the ducktail. That's what it is. The ducktail. Mitru Long. You know, I don't know. I just feel like I'm not going to absolve Shaka. Like, he came to Texas selling a particular brand of basketball. And like, one of the things that has just baffled me is, like, I was really excited to see Havoc defense with higher caliber players, but I just feel like we have, like, a bunch of guys. Like, Roach is pretty good, but he should never be relied on as, like, your best player. And I think when Andrew Jones, had the situation he did last year with leukemia, I think that kind of robbed us of our true star. And so I don't know. I just feel like you have, like, a lot of guys just kind of standing around and waiting for somebody else to make it happen. And as I'm watching, it's now 46-42. So
I'll catch it. I'll look back in a few minutes, man. It sucks, man. I really don't care as much as I used to, and it's weird because I think I'm in the same I'm further along here, but this, it just reminds me of Charlie's last year, where we're not getting blown out, it's just close every game. It's clear we're just not good, but we're not terrible. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's and it's still hard to tell. Like, the Big 12 is a really good basketball conference, and I don't think we've really started to get that national credit as being such a good basketball conference just until here in maybe the last 5 years or so. Because, like, right now, you know, I don't keep up with college basketball a ton until the tournament, but I've watched enough to know that, like, the Pac-12 is terrible. Like, the Pac-12 might only get one team in the tournament. And so if you have a Power Five conference like that, that's only getting one team in the tournament, there's going to be, you know, multiple teams from a conference like the Big 12 that's going to get teams in. And, you know, we could just very well put, you know, enough games together
to go out in there the first weekend again. You know,
well,
I'm good on basketball now, man. I brought it up just because we're literally playing Kansas and I'm not watching. And I just thought about that. And I'm not even mad about it either. It's just apathy. Anyway,
sorry about that. So we've talked a little bit about Brew McCoy and the football team. We did our best impersonation of some guys that halfway care about the basketball team right now. So let's talk about something that is near and dear to your heart, something you've been pretty passionate about, something that I got kicked out of for the Culture Brewing Company.
Nobody, you did not get kicked. Do you really tell people this?
Yes, of course. My podcast does not have an official sponsor yet. That means that I'm certainly open to anyone being an official sponsor. For the time being, my unofficial sponsor is For the Culture Brewing Company, and they're out of Houston, Texas. And I just so happen to be best friends with the co-owner and CEO, Jonathan Brown, who we have on the podcast here with us. So I don't know. I kind of remember when you and our boy Carl first started doing some of the home brewing stuff, and I thought y'all were, like, a little crazy, but I just wasn't into beer like that, so I didn't really care. But you guys have a pretty cool story on how you got started, and part of it's due to Hurricane Harvey. So if you can maybe tell the listeners a little bit about what the company is, how you got started.
Cool, man. Yeah. So Carl and myself, we just you know, over the last, I'd say almost 10 years now, just kind of fell in love with beer. I literally didn't find my love for beer until after college. You know, it was, you know how it was. We partied. It was nothing but liquor. Really didn't drink any beer. And, you know, just over the years, it's like, man, this is great. I've, you know, found out there's what great beer tastes like, you know, and I found out what a triple, a double, a stout, a saison, a goza, all these random different styles of beer. And, you know, and it's to the, you and one another group of me where we're just sending pictures. Hey, I'm trying this beer. I'm trying this IPA. Check it out. And it just, man, it's just, we love it to the point is, you know, like people, you enjoy your whiskey or people enjoy their glass of wine. We absolutely just enjoy and love the taste of beer. Not to get drunk. Just, hey, man, I taste it. I love this. Like I love my raspberry lemonade, and everybody who knows me knows I'm pretty.
A raspberry lemonade stays in the refrigerator.
And it's, you can listen, you come to my house, you can have anything you want. Just let me have my raspberry lemonade, man. We buy two, one for me, one for everybody else. But I say that, you know, to say, so yeah, Carl and I just, and literally one day, you know, someone, you know, said something about a kit, like, man, we could just make our own beer. And I remember my buddy Andy Pasternak, who's Rough House Brewing out in Wimberley. Now, these guys just opened last month, my senior design partner at UT. And I remember he would, you know, like, oh, yeah, we're brewing today, and just dismissed it. And I'm like, OK, wow. You know, years later, start doing it. And, you know, Carl and I, we got a kit, just extract brewing in the kitchen. Thank God to my lovely wife letting us, you know, tear up the kitchen, you know, a bunch of times. And man, and then we just one day, you know, we decided to take it to another level. And it literally happened. Harvey hit. And of course, in Houston, all this stuff happens. Hurricanes come through. We didn't take this one seriously enough. It's just like, it'll be all right. And we're just brewing up on the Friday night Harvey hit. And I'm like, you know, looking at Carl, like, man, this is really fun. You know, let's really push this. Let's make a business out of this, because we started thinking about just sitting there talking about how beer wasn't in our, you know, culture or a growing up. Right. It's if it is beer, it's Budweiser and Miller Lite or Coors Light. And it's not necessarily, hey, man, let me try this Hennessy or try this different vodka. That's what we did. So we're like, man, you know what? Let's make a business of this, man. Let's start our own brewery. Let's get people excited about this. Let's teach them, educate them about all different kinds of beer. Just the way we did. You know, at first we started loving it, and then you meet people, and then it's like, wait, I didn't even know this was a style of beer. All we know in America is, you know, lager, right? That's what we grow up. A lager is a Budweiser, Coors, a Miller's.
I'm glad you said that, because I don't know what the hell a lager is. I just drink what y'all tell me to drink.
It's the very light, very light beer, and they want you to serve it super cold. And I'm saying this coming as a craft beer guy now, because I'm not a beer snob, but I don't like the big guys simply because their beer does not taste good, man.
That's fair.
Piss water. I think that would be the edit that out if you need to.
No, I'm not editing that out. I mean, I think that's accurate. I mean, it doesn't taste the greatest. You're not drinking it for the taste,
right?
Typically, you're drinking a whole lot of them to get a buzz. Oh. I know when I go out hunting, that's all we drink is like Budweiser, and it runs right through you, and you're having to pee all the damn time,
so. Right? So yeah, exactly, man. So what we wanted to do is, like, you know, at first it was, well, you know, you start with, let me make a beer I like, or let me make, you know, my beers I like, let me make something for myself. And then it's, you know, like, okay, well, let's try to get something, you know, my wife's like, well, I like this style. Okay, well, let me try to make her something. Or, you know, a couple guys were, I like watermelon flavor, peanut butter flavor. So it's okay, well, let's start experimenting with those things.
There's a peanut butter flavored beer.
Well, you can add, you know, different types of grains. You can add pretty much any flavor you want to a beer. You just have to get creative with it. You know, it's chemistry, it's science, man.
It's science. Kind of to that point, by trade, you're an engineer, right? So
yes.
you were a mechanical engineer at UT.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of like the I guess, like, the quote-unquote magic for it to you? Is, like, to some degree, it's playing around with formulas and...
It's all of it, man. It's so, yeah, being able to play around with formulas and come up with, you know, come up with the flavor of beer, and it's, you start from, what do you want this thing to taste like? How strong with the alcohol content do you want it to be? What color do you want it to be? How do you want it to, the mouthfeel of it when you put it in your mouth? What is it going to smell like? You have to balance all of these different things. And that comes from chemistry, your material selection or you know, your hops, your yeast, and your malt selection. So, yeah, that, it's for me, that is definitely the fun part. And then, you know, making sure you're, you know, balancing your equation to make sure your water and putting the salts and make sure your water is exactly where you want it to be, because that's a huge component of your beer flavor as well. So that part, that's where I get the nerd out. But, you know, on the flip side of that, you know me, I'm the most extroverted engineer you will ever meet. So flip side of that is, whenever you come to town, as soon as you walk in the door, hey, come here, try this, you know, and it's, I get to do that. You know, we're going around letting people try our beers. Like last year, you know, not especially since we're all Longhorns that are in the company, we're coming down there for football games. So last year for the USC game, what do we do? Like, well, we're going to be down here anyway. How about we bring our kegerators, set up our signing, at least just do a free tasting. And that's kind of what got us started over the last, since then, we've been doing a lot of pop-ups like that in and around Houston, just so we can get our name out there, our brand, and let people try it. And man, that's the most rewarding and fun part about it, is seeing people's faces light up when they finally taste this beer, because, you know, especially when we have a hibiscus and elderflower ale, right? Have you ever even heard of that?
Well, I hadn't heard of it until y'all let me try it. When you said it, I was like, okay, this is gonna be whack. But it was more from a standpoint of, like, I didn't know what the hell that was. Second of all, like, I just like to give y'all shit. And third of all, I just don't, you know, I'm not a beer connoisseur. So,
so you're my target. You are absolutely someone I'm trying to target and make a palatable beer to just get you into beer. You know, it's like, okay, so there's a wide range from that Budweiser lager all the way up to that, you know, stout or that Imperial stout or Imperial IPA. There it's just a wide spectrum of beer, and that we did the hibiscus and elderflower because it smells good. And it's not it doesn't punch you in the face, you know, like it's some super high something. Like I said, it's extremely palatable, smells good, tastes good, light, refreshing, and it's something you enjoy year round with I mean, many different foods. And so that's how we kind of started the deal, you know, because I personally, my favorite style of beer are Belgian style ales and triples. Belgian style triple. It's great. It goes down like a blonde ale, which is just a simple 4.5%. It's like a better flavor for you to understand. It's like a better flavored lager is what a blonde ale is.
Okay.
Belgian style triple goes down just as smooth as that. It's a little more spicy, has a lot more flavor, and it goes down as easy, and it's 9.5%.
Two questions. One, what type of beer is, so y'all put me on that Le Fin du Mont. Feel real fancy when I say that and talk to people about it. But so my first question is, what kind of beer is that one? And then two, what is the one that y'all have that I like that's like the darker beer, and the higher alcohol content?
Got you. So the Le Fin du Mont is a Belgian style triple. That is actually what got me into beer eight years ago.
Oh, okay. All right. I can see that.
The one is like, I taste that. I was like, wait a minute. This is not like Budweiser or anything like, you know, or Coors Light. And I'm like, wow, this actually tastes great. And it's strong. I was like, okay, well, I can't drink the whole thing in one sitting because, you know, I'm a mid-distance runner, so I'm not heavy.
I do it because I'm trying to get lit.
And but you also got 100 pounds on me probably now.
All right.
Nah, man, I'm getting bigger, man. It dropped it down to 60 to 70. But but no, yeah, that one. And then you like our brown ale that you like. And, okay. You know, it has a little chocolatey coffee notes. And now
yeah, that's what it is. It has like a I don't know. I guess it is the chocolate and coffee notes that kind of are more along the lines of like what my palate likes to taste when it comes to beer.
Right. And that one's not too heavy either. It's right at 5% as well. You haven't had the IPA, and I know you're not an IPA guy.
Yeah, I'm not an IPA.
You got to try this one because I'm
but
not.
This is, let me just, okay, like, this is the great thing about having my own podcast. Is like, I can kind of talk about whatever I want. And while I'm hoping that we get some women listenership, I know the majority of guys that listen to this are men. So if I offend anyone here, I apologize. But see, the problem with the IPAs for me is like, it tears my stomach up. So I end up on the toilet pretty quick.
Really? Why? That's interesting, man.
It's too hoppy for me.
Ah, so that's perfect. So I'm glad you said that. So we have an IPA that I think you'll like. It's we use a lot of Citra hops in it. It's very, it gives a lot of the fruity and tangy flavor. But the hops, we it doesn't punch you in the face. You know, those hops aren't going to, because I'm not a big hoppy person. In fact, we have a couple guys that like IPAs and like, they're really the taste testers on this. They're the go-to like, okay, where does this fall in line? Because, and that's the thing, out of the whole group of us, five of us, everybody has their own kind of palate. We got an IPA guy. We have somebody that's, you know, knows every stout known to man, getting every barrel aged stout and this and that. So can kind of, you know, we all have our own little, you know, can do the sniffer taste test depending on the style of beer, right. if it's good or not. But yeah, man, this right here, this again, just even talking about this, man, this is what's exciting, and I love doing this with people. So that's why, man, I can't wait to get open, and that's I can't wait to get open, dude. And that's
that's why. So you mentioned that. So you're doing some stuff in Houston. Mm-hmm. Y'all came to the Texas USC game. I came to Prairie View's homecoming, mm-hmm. and checked y'all out there. Y'all went to University of Houston's homecoming. Mm-hmm. What do you kind of see on the horizon? I mean, the big game this year is LSU, so I'm guessing y'all will be there for that.
Got you. So big thing for us outside of events. Houston Livestock Rodeo, Livestock Show and Rodeo next month, and LSU in September.
Those are the things together,
but two big ones. In the meantime, we are pushing
just a little bit, man.
Okay.
Say that again.
I said pushing real hard right now to find real estate for us to find a location for us to get open. That's the biggest hurdle for us right now that we are we're having trouble with, just finding the right location that works for our needs. Looking for about around 6,000 to 8,000 square foot facility or piece of land that we can put that size facility on, just the right price and the right location. And that's the biggest hurdle for us that we have to get over, because we can't legally sell anything until we have that.
And once we have, okay. Yeah. So that's why right now we're just doing the sampling. It's free. But we sell merchandise. There is merchandise.
We sell t-shirts, hats, koozies, and getting some new glasses, some shirts for women. We finally got some, I believe, 3Xs for the guys.
Yeah.
So guys, like, man, have the 3X. We got some, you know, social media. I'm going in and out. What's up?
Yeah, we're cutting out just a little bit there. But I mean, I guess, you know, the thing that's cool about what you guys are doing is it's organic. One of the things I really like, even though y'all kicked me out, is that you have I guess I'll tell this story. I feel like I've told this story before. Okay, so by trade, I'm kind of in finance. That's where my professional career has kind of led me is to the finance end of things. And at one point, Jonathan hit me up and he was like, "Hey, man, like, you know, how you liking your job? What are your prospects of moving up there? Da 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 da." You know, like, are you looking at like being a CFO or something? I work at a pretty large company, so I wouldn't say that I want to be at that level with the company I'm at, but Jonathan just kind of casually pitches, well, you know, we're working on this brewing company and, you know, maybe you could be our CFO. I'm like, all right, cool. So the first time I go to Houston for Brew Day is when they all kind of come together and brew for the day. Yeah. Brew and drink beer. Well, so Jonathan lets me know, like, hey, You know, need your help. You know, working on Brew Day. You know, Carl's not going to be able to make it. Devon's a little bit busy. And I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah, I can do that. So I think I maybe washed out like one barrel. I might have poured some water or turned a knob to make some water come on and like watch it start boiling. And then Carl pulls up. So, you know, Carl shows up.
Nothing.
I washed a barrel. You can't say I didn't wash a barrel. I feel like I washed a barrel. And Carl pulled up. And when Carl pulled up, at this point, I'm kind of like, well, you said Carl wasn't going to be here. Carl's here. Y'all are the ones that kind of have this, you know, good program going. Y'all know what's what. I'm not really needed. So I just sat and drank beer for the rest of the day. And then next thing I knew, like, this thing had evolved. Like, more people had gotten involved. Jonathan's brother and then a couple of our good friends all got involved with it. They created, like, this group me. And then next thing I knew, like, everybody was a co-owner. And, like, I just show up on Brew Day and drink beer. That's the only thing that I do. So I like to sell it as y'all kick me out. Man, I don't know what happened. It's like it's chopping up really, really bad. So we'll have
for
to
me?
Yeah, every time you get ready to say something, I don't know what's going on. It cuts out pretty bad.
What about now?
That's a little bit better. But you know, hey, this is some of the growing pains of an early podcast. I hadn't even hit episode number 20 yet. The guys at the Yak are doing a great job and, you know, producing this for me and you know, just helping us kind of get the content out there. So we kind of make do, but I'm just trying to think of, you know, so, you know, we have the events coming up with the Livestock Rodeo Show. We got you guys probably be around for Texas LSU, so I'll certainly make sure that people get information about that. I know we can find you at For the Culture BC on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Correct.
I mean, you know, that's what I was leading to before I started talking about how y'all kicked me out. What I like about what it is you guys are doing is it's really organic. You know, your wives are involved to the point where, you know, they're all very supportive of what you're doing. You know, pretty much everywhere we go, I see you like in a For the Culture, you know, sweatshirt or whatever. We all went to New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl. And at the end of the game, I saw you guys all go down there with your shirts and stuff and take a picture. And so I think it's really cool that you're, you know, trying to kind of build like this grassroots following, if you will, because I think, you know, once people get an opportunity to taste your stuff, it'll really endear them to you and, you know, give you a chance to continue to grow your product.
No, that's exactly it. This is better with the sound, but no, that's exactly.
Nah, man, it's still cutting out. I don't know what's going on, man. But we had a good run on our podcast. At least on our debut, we'll try and figure it out. I'm certainly going to have you back on because I think this was you know, really cool just sitting up talking to you. We talk, you know, damn near every day about something, but just wanted to make sure that, you know, I kind of let the audience know about what it is that you guys are doing. I'll make sure that in the show notes, I have your information there. And, you know, probably just try and get the word out about this show because it's certainly a little bit different than what I usually do. You know, it's like I've told you and I've even shared with others before, like coming up with content outside of football season isn't as easy as I thought it was going to be. So I certainly have like a great appreciation for, you know, people that, you know, run like the recruiting sites, like the Ketchums and the Anwars of the world and that kind of thing, Sukumail, because they have to, you know, kind of pump out content, you know, for their subscribers daily, you know, almost, you know, multiple times a day. But one of the cool things about this platform is I have the opportunity to talk about whatever the hell it is I want, and I can have on whoever I want. And so, you know, certainly want to try and get you to come on again, give us some updates about what you guys are doing, and then we'll just be able to talk, you know, anything Texas related, and just, you know, kind of continue to see how this thing goes. So I really appreciate you, you know, being on. Hell, we almost went an hour here. I think we had talked about doing 30, 40 minutes, and we're probably close to 50 already. So I appreciate you coming on, man. I'll give you a shot to say anything else you want to. Hopefully we can hear it.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, but it's still chopped a little.
Oh, I hate it. Anyway, this is the last thing. I appreciate you for, you know, asking me to come on here. I was trying to answer a question earlier, just real quick about, you know, how, you know, we're doing this little grassroots thing. And I'm like, that's exactly it. We really just enjoy out and educate them, let them know there's better beer out there, get them just as excited about it as we are. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you look at it and it's just, we want to be, instead of just watching, you know, this craft beer movement, because it's taken over, you know, total beer sales. We just really want to be a part of it and actually do something. And this is our contribution. And that's exactly why we're doing it. That's even how we came up with the name for the craft beer culture, for your culture, whatever that is to you. I can't wait to share some more of our product with you, man. We'll try the IPA.
I got as much out of you as I can on this one, bro. Okay. I think I'll probably get some people talking shit because that's what people do, but I think we put together a pretty good show here. Like I said, again, man, I really appreciate you being on. Again, that was Jonathan Brown with For the Culture Brewing. You can find them at For the Culture BC on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And you know, certainly something for you to check out, especially if you're in the Houston area. They do, you know, some local events from time to time. That's all I got for this episode. As it stands, it is 65-61 with 1 minute left, and Kansas trying to foul us every time we go down the court. So I'm hoping that, as I say that, we throw the ball away. So it's 65-61, 53 seconds left. Hopefully our Longhorns can hold on and pull it out against Kansas. But this has been another episode of Until the Whistle. And I'm your host, Marcus Myers. We'll catch you next time the whistle blows.